I just want to welcome you if it's your first time to Vertical Church. I don't know if it's your first time. You've been here a long time, whether you're in Hiawassee or online here in Morganton. My name is Philip, and I just want to welcome you to Vertical Church. We're honored that you would take some time to spend time with us today. And I pray and believe in faith along with the leaders of this church that the Lord is going to speak into your life today. And so we're closing out a series called Vertical Values. Vertical Values, it's a very confusing series. We're talking about the values of Vertical Church. That's powerful. And so we're going through that. It's week four. If you've missed a couple weeks, you can go back and watch it on YouTube or our Facebook and catch up and kind of see what we really value as a church. But we're going to talk through the last two of our 11 values as a church. What do we value as a church? And I know some of you, if you've been at Vertical for a while, you've been concerned. You've watched 9 values be rolled out, and you're concerned for Pastor Phil because none of them have contained the Old Testament, if you're keeping notes. And you're wondering what has happened to him. I've listened to half his sermons. They're all Old Testament. Where are the Old Testament values? Fear not. Your faith has been rewarded. Our vertical value coming from the Old Testament is coming to us in the last week of this series. I want you to turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And we're going to start in verse 6. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. That's not a problem. We're going to throw it up on the screen so that you can read along with us. And we want to start in verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon." And this is a little bit of context, our vertical values drawn out of the verses out of this, but I wanted to add in the context here because it ties so much in with what we believe as a church. And see, here's the thing, if you read the Bible sometimes, or maybe you struggle with some things that I have in my past, you just kind of feel like God's just waiting to smite you all the time. Like every time you mess up, you feel like God hates you, that he wants to just wipe you off the face of the planet. You feel as like if you read through some of the Old Testament, you're like, man, God's really angry all the time. Like he needs anger management classes. And you start to go, man, I don't know that I want to follow someone like this. But if you read the context, remember Genesis to Revelation, you're going to start to see the character of God, which is broken down and summed up beautifully in these first two verses. It's God does not tolerate sin. He's not okay with sin. It's never going to be okay with him. But he's a God who wants to pardon. He's a God who wants to forgive. And see, if we miss that, we miss the character of God. And that's so important to us as a church because we want to see. Why do we exist? Because we believe God wants to forgive people. He wants to forgive people. That's why we're so passionate about Jesus. Jesus wants to come to take away our sin. He wants to show forgiveness. But here's the thing. He also is not going to tolerate sin. And that's the tension that can exist there. I don't know if maybe you've never read the Bible. You've read it a lot of times. Maybe you've seen this tension that exists of God not being okay with sin, but also God wanting to forgive people. And so this tension that exists, but we believe God wants to forgive. He wants to forgive. It's not that he's going to be okay with sin, but he wants to forgive us. And that changes how sometimes we pray. It changes how we look at God sometimes. Some of you may be thinking, God actually wants to forgive me after all of my mistakes and sins. And the answer is yes. Yes, he does. Because here's the thing. He wants to have a relationship with you. And sin stands in the way of that. That's why he sent Jesus to remove it so that you and God could have a relationship. But here's the thing, that tension that exists of God not being okay with sin and not going to tolerate, but also wants to forgive, that tension exists. And sometimes you're like, well, how does that work? I want you to look, because the author in Isaiah 55 is not done explaining it. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." The vertical value that we draw out of this is called zoom out. Zoom out. And it says God's perspective is always bigger than ours. We will look to see beyond ourselves to see his vision. And see, this is one of those values that absolutely applies to us as a church. We want to go beyond. We talked about it a ton in this series. This is bigger than us. Vertical values, we're not talking about how important we are as a church or that we're the best thing on the block or anything like that. We always believe it's got to be bigger than us because what God's doing is bigger than vertical church. Okay, and so we've got to zoom out. We've always got to remember it's not all about us. See, we're not here to celebrate vertical. Vertical is not what can change someone's life. It's Jesus. And therefore, we can't be about vertical. We've always got to zoom out. We've got to remember that this is bigger than us. That's why we're rooting for other churches to win. This is bigger than us. But this also applies to our own personal life that we've got to zoom out. Many of you, if we got to sit down and have a cup of coffee, and by that I mean you drink coffee, I won't, because coffee is bizarre to me. I don't understand why you like it. But many of you do. My wife loves it. It's an easy gift to get. I just go get her coffee. Praise the Lord, okay? And so, but we've got to be able as humans to zoom out as well. Have you ever noticed that life, if you're not careful, the things that happen, the things that maybe are outside of your control and it causes hurts and pains and difficulty, life has this way of trying to force you to actually just focus on you. The things that happen to you, the difficulties over life, it's easy to maybe become cynical or maybe to become a victim, but it's all just kind of driving you to just worry about you. Focus on what's happened to you. Think about what's happened to you. And see, the Lord would actually go, no, this is all much bigger than you. But the enemy wants you to be focused on yourself. Don't worry about anyone else. Don't look at us. Look what's happened to you. Look at what God's allowed to happen in your life. How could he love and care about you if these kind of things happen? And the enemy in life is always driving you to focus in on yourself. But God says, no, this is much bigger than that. And see, this is what's difficult. As in Isaiah 8 through 9, God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And you go, huh, does that mean I'm not going to be able to fully understand God? You can write this down. This will be powerful in your notes. Yes. Yes. See, here's the thing. I break it down. If maybe you're not a Christian, this actually will probably make more sense to you than maybe a non-Christian even. I'm not sure. Here's the thing. If there is an all-powerful being, if there's an all-powerful being, God out there, that's a God over all, and he's outside of even our understanding of time, how in the world can a human being that lives 80 years be able to fully comprehend a being like that? You go, logically, if I can see there is an all-powerful being and he's outside of our understanding of time, you're right. I'm probably going to run out of time before I can fully understand his ways or how he sees things. You're right. You would logically go, if I can see that, that would actually make sense. But sometimes when we follow the Bible long enough and we start to think we know everything, that we kind of have God figured out, we kind of forget sometimes Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, that God goes, you could have been a Christian for 70 years, and let me explain something. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You'll never, on this side of eternity, ever fully understand everything that I'm doing, the way that I'm seeing. Why? Because, and this hurts our feelings sometimes, it's bigger than us. It's bigger than us. And see, but the tension exists right there. Well, then if we go, if this is bigger than us, that means he doesn't care about me, right? Well, no, you just missed the earlier context of the verse where he says he wants to forgive and pardon you. See, that's the beauty of the tension that God is. It's so much bigger than us, but he still cares about us as individuals. That's mind-blowing to us that every single one of you God knows, cares about, and wants you to participate with his plan that he has going on. And that's what is the tension is. And this rubs us the wrong way sometimes because if you're honest, sometimes you want to be the hero of the story. You want to be the hero of the story. Like you want to see yourself as like, I'm the next Marvel character or whatever, you know. I mean, you don't want to be a DC character, otherwise your movies will stink. But you want to be a Marvel character, right? And so you want to go out, you want to be the hero. But that's the thing, we're not the hero. And that kind of hurts our feelings sometimes. But Jesus is the hero of the story. And so we go, well then, is there really a part for me to play? Is there really a part for me to play? And the Bible's very clear. There absolutely is a part for you to participate with what God's doing. But here's what we got to understand. God wants us to participate, but doesn't need us to participate. God wants you to participate with what he's doing, but he does not need you to accomplish his plans. God's not sitting up in the throne room of heaven going, man, I'm banking on Phil Kite today, or this is all going to fall apart. I can guarantee you the Lord knows me and knows those words have never come out of the throne room of heaven. But he has said, Philip, I want you to participate. I want you to participate with what I'm doing. He looks at your life and goes, I want you to participate with what I'm doing. I don't need you, but I want you. And when you understand the character of God, that makes so much sense because he loves you enough that he would send his son to die on the cross to remove your shame, remove your guilt, but most importantly, remove your sin so that you could participate with him. And so here's the thing. We want to remember as a church, this is bigger than us, that we've got to be able to zoom out. We've got to be able to look at things that are beyond ourselves and also understand that even when we try to zoom out, we won't ever fully understand everything that God's doing, but we'll have faith. And we'll look to participate in the ways that he calls us. We'll look to do the things that he's calling us to. And we'll always remember as a church, this is bigger than us. Because here's the thing. The human tendency of this church, the longer and longer and longer it exists, there's going to be a subtle drive as our human tendency to make it more and more about ourselves. That's why, I mean, vertical, if the Lord doesn't come back and we're 50 years from now and maybe, you know, I fully have lost all my hair or at least it's gray and hopefully I've not gained a ton of weight. We'll see. I'm trying to eat better, but I do like cheeseburgers. It's a tough tension in life. And so I'm working through that. But 50 years from now, if I'm still around, the tension that will exist has been to slowly kind of think, let's just worry about vertical. And that's why right now we've made sure it's in our values. No, always, always zoom out. Always remember that this is bigger than this church, that we are just participating with the big plan that God is working out. Which leads us in to another thing, which would be verse 10 that we want to look at. I'm just adding this in for context because I think it's great. Look at verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve for the purpose for which I sent it. The two things I want us to just remember out of those verses is one, the word of God is alive and active. Isaiah, right there in those verses, are telling us when the Lord says something, it's not coming back empty. You know what I'm saying? It's going to achieve the purpose and plans the Lord has for it. Did you also see you and I in that scripture there? No. It reminds us that God wants us to participate but does not need us. God can go out and accomplish everything he's looking to do, and he doesn't need us. And that's the beauty of it is, but he still wants us to. He wants us to. He invites us to come participate even though it's not a need. He's not coming to us needing something. He just cares and wants us to participate. So look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, if you want to flip over there, that's New Testament. If you're looking through your Bible, you're going to want to head to the right. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be up on the screen again. It says, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so the last vertical value that we're going to talk about is called comfort in our calling. Comfort in our calling. And it says we may be a little bit different, but we know what Jesus has called us to be. And see, here's the thing is, sometimes when you come to vertical, maybe you love it. We hope you love it. We hope you get fired up. You're like, I like the greeting. I like the coffee and donuts. I love the worship team. I'm tolerating this guy in a black t-shirt and jeans. But everything else is great. I really like this, you know. Or you're sitting over in Hiawatha and you're like, I kind of like coming to a movie theater and just sitting down. I like the AC. It's nice and cold because it's blazing hot outside. I like this. Or maybe you love watching online. You know, you're like, I got my own coffee here. I didn't know you had donuts in the building. I may be back. That's exciting. And so maybe that's what's going on. But we've got to be comfortable with what we're called. And see, here's the thing. And again, just because vertical is doing it a certain way is not us looking at other churches going, the way you do it's wrong. We have got to understand as a church as we move forward, vertical's not doing things a certain way, trying to tell other churches the way you do it's wrong. What we're trying to do as a church is go, this is what God has asked us to do. We believe that God's asked us to have our worship look a certain way, that our teaching look a certain way, that we're going to dress pretty casually as we come in. We're not, you know, none of us even got a budget for a suit. You know what I'm saying? And then how many of y'all were going to be excited about wearing a suit today? It's like 147 degrees outside, okay? Let's be real. And so That's just some of the things, but we're not saying another church is wrong if they don't do those things. We're not saying, you know, as we look to go out and start other campuses and stream in our service to movie theaters and go to different rural communities, because Luke 14 says, go to the country lanes and the roads and be compelling. Just because we're doing all that is not us looking at other churches going, you're wrong if you don't do it our way. I need everyone to hear me say that as the pastor of the church. That's not what we're trying to do. But we have a comfort in our calling. And that's why if someone comes to our church and they go, I don't really like the teacher, our pastor of this church, I'm going to go, that's great. I've got such good news for you. There's a lot of other churches where I'm not the pastor. You're going to be delighted to hear that. You got a lot of other options. And so, you know, or maybe, you know, they don't like this or that. And that's okay. We're not trying to conform for people to like us. We're trying to be comfortable in what God has called us to be. See, here's the thing. It's a cultural value. It's like the first vertical value. That applies to us personally as well. I want to ask, are you comfortable with what God has called you to do? Are you comfortable with what God has called you to do? Or are you maybe trying to be someone else? When you show up to work or when you're with your family, are you trying to mimic or be someone that you're not the way that God has designed you to? Maybe you're trying to use skills, gifts, and talents that maybe you don't really have. You know, there's a reason my microphone doesn't come on until after worship's done. You know what I'm saying? And so not all of us have all the gifts and skills and talents, but we're all supposed to point people to Jesus. Are you comfortable with what God has called you to? And maybe you go, I don't really know what God has called me to. I don't know exactly what he's looking for me to do. I'm going to be honest, I didn't know I was even supposed to participate with what he was looking to do. And I'm here to tell you today, the Lord absolutely wants to speak into your life and invites you to participate with what he's already doing. And you may go, well, that's really bizarre. Maybe if I'm telling you that Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, maybe you go, I don't know that Holy Spirit has ever spoken to me. I don't know if that's real. I'm going to encourage you, according to the Bible, I absolutely believe that Holy Spirit's going to speak into your life. If you want to go read this week, John 14 through 16, and then if you want to email me afterwards, we can talk about it. But John 14 through 16 is going to talk to you a lot about Holy Spirit and his active role in our life today. Those words are from Jesus, by the way, not me. And so, as we look to, do you have comfort in what God has called you to be? And see, the thing is, when we try to be something we're not, when we try to force things, when we try to use our skills and gifts and talents that we don't have, things get a little bit messy. And so I want to ask, you know, when you're looking around your life, where are you supposed to participate? I believe God's already at work. He's already doing his thing. He's going to get his glory. He's about his plan. He's going to work, but he invites us to participate, and Holy Spirit can reveal what that's supposed to look like. But have you ever asked? Have you genuinely ever asked, Holy Spirit, what is it I'm supposed to be doing right now? And then waiting for an answer. Asking God, God, will you give me eyes to see what's happening around me, and how do I participate? Like, do you believe God actually wants to speak to you in that way? I want to tell you a story about Matt and Laura Parker. Matt and Laura Parker, you may have heard of them, you may have not. Most likely you haven't, because they're not really about themselves, but Matt and Laura Parker moved to Southeast Asia in 2010. And some of you are already panicking, like, oh gosh, he's going to ask me to move overseas. I knew it. You start looking at your wife, that's why we don't come to churches like this. Becky, come on, you know? And so, no, I'm not asking you to move to Southeast Asia. That's not my job. Holy Spirit may. Y'all can have it out with him. And so Southeast Asia, they move in 2010. They move over there. They're working with the school that's trying to help young girls, you know, develop skills and talents and be educated in that kind of community. And as they're working in Southeast Asia at this school as the director, they begin to see a problem that exists, that marginalized people are not only having real problems in life, but marginalized people are ending up in human trafficking. And so Matt and Laura begin talking, and so Matt ends up starting to just go, well, I mean, I'm trying to help young girls right now at the school. You know, me and my wife are trying to help them develop skills and gifts and talents, but some of them are being pushed into human trafficking. So what can I do to help that, you know, as he's working at the school? And so he begins working with local police departments to try to catch people who are luring people into human trafficking. And he begins working with that. And as he does that, he goes, oh my gosh, I'm being exposed. There's more of a need than I thought there was. And so he starts working with government agencies as well, and they start doing that for years. The need just kind of keeps increasing, and they keep kind of going, well, how do we help meet this need? How do we help fight against what's going on? And so in 2012, they started an organization called the Exodus Road. The Exodus Road, and I probably have talked about it beforehand. It's an organization that I'm passionate about, that Kayla and I support. But they go into different countries and they set up sting operations with government agencies to try to help rescue people out of human trafficking. But all of that started simply because Matt and Laura were just doing what God asked them to do, and they saw a need. That's what I want to point out in the story. It's not that you need to go move to Southeast Asia. What I'm trying to get you to encourage is wherever God has you right now, there are needs around you. Wherever God has you right now, there are needs around you, but maybe you haven't asked to see what he sees right now. Maybe you haven't asked the Lord, Lord, help me see where the needs are around me that I can go meet, that I can go help participate and bring forth change. How do I participate with what you want to do, Jesus? And so when you start asking the Lord that, guess what? He's going to speak to you. He's going to reveal things to you. And it doesn't happen just overnight. Remember, they moved to Southeast Asia in 2010. When did they start the organization? It was years later. It was years later before they founded the organization. They kind of just went and looked to meet a need as they went. I'm not saying you need to go start an organization or a ministry or anything like that, but what I do want to encourage you is if you see a need and the Lord moves, it's time to step up. Because I firmly believe your calling in the kingdom of God is not to watch. Your calling in the kingdom of God is not to watch. Pastor David, one of my mentors, used to always say this kind of bluntly. He would say, somebody's got to do something, it might as well be me. Somebody's got to do something, it might as well be me. And I love that mentality of if God reveals a need and he reveals something in front of you and it's an opportunity to do something, have the mentality, somebody's got to do something, it might as well be me. That's what I love. I've watched some people step up to serve on our setup, our breakdown team. You just look around, you go, well, there's a need. So people have jumped in, and now we have lots of people serving that ministry, and that's fantastic. Some people have seen needs in greeters or coffee bars or with our men's or women's ministry. It's just people start looking around, or maybe you're helping serve now at the women's shelter in Union County or wherever. There's needs all around. And when you see them, can we have the mentality in our church of somebody's got to do something? It might as well be me. And just go, I want to use my gifts and skills and talents to point people to Jesus because I believe he wants to speak into your life. You see, on the other side of eternity, when we all pass on to the other side of eternity, I don't think anyone has ever looked back and go, man, I really regret giving everything to Jesus. Man, I really regret giving everything to Jesus is not words you hear on the other side of eternity. And so as we look here, I think as our human tendency, if I can just be a little bit challenging. If not, if you don't like it, I promise you, we can point you out to the exit doors. Or online, there's a beautiful red button. You know what I'm saying? And so, but if you don't like it, it's okay. But here's the thing, is our human tendency is it drives us to go, how little can I give to God and get away with it? That's our human tendency because we're trapped in this flesh that wants to rebel against the Lord. And our human tendency drives us to, how little can I give to God and get away with it? The issue is you don't find that in Scripture. Jesus says things like, hey, if you want to follow me, you need to die to yourself. That doesn't sound anything like, hey, how little can I give to God and get away with it? And so I want to encourage you that a firm belief that we have this church is God invites you to participate with what he's already doing. He does not need us, but he wants us. And so right now, I firmly believe that the Lord wants to speak into your life, and maybe the first thing is you need to give your life to Jesus. You know that you've been living your life for yourself. You realize, man, I've been living a life of sin, and I didn't understand that Jesus actually wants to forgive me. That Isaiah 55 talks about it, that I can turn from my ways and give my life to Jesus. Like, I actually know right now that's what I need to do. Today is your day. You can give your life to Jesus. But maybe you've been coming to church for a long time, maybe you've been a Christian a long time, and you go, I don't know that I've ever slowed down enough to really look on how I can participate with what God's already doing. And maybe it's time that you finally ask that question, God, what is it that you want to do in and through me? Give me the eyes to see what you want to do. because I firmly believe, I'm full of faith that Holy Spirit wants to speak to people today and reveal how you can participate with what God is doing. Because here's the thing, at Vertical Church, as we close out our series, if the worship team wants to come back up, I want to reiterate what is defined as success at this church. What we define success as at this church, success is not how many locations we have, even though we're trying to expand. Success is not how many people come on a Sunday morning, even though we're trying to be compelling, even though we're trying to be inviting. Success is not how much money in the bank, even though we're very fortunate that a lot of people give here and that we're healthy financially. That's not success here. Success at Vertical Church is boiled down to how many of us submit to Jesus. That's it. That's what we define as success. How many of us submit to Jesus? The locations, they'll come after that. The opportunities to go be inviting and training and sending, all of that will come after that. Being a financially healthy church, that'll come after that. None of that will matter if we're not doing it for Jesus. And so that's why we close out our vertical value series asking the question, are you willing to ask Holy Spirit, reveal to me how do I participate with what God is doing? Are you willing to submit and die to yourself and go, Jesus, I don't want to offer you the minimum I can try to get away with. Jesus, I want to give you everything that I am, everything that I have. Whatever life I have left, I give it to you, Jesus. And I always want to be a pastor that doesn't sugarcoat it. And I'm going to tell you the cost of following Jesus in that way, it will cost you financially. Following Jesus in that way will cost you your time. I don't want to pretend that it won't. But I do want to tell you, after spending years of my life living for myself, I don't have one single regret of giving my life to Jesus. And if I can encourage you, if I can implore you, you're not going to either. It's not that life has been easy. It's not that life hasn't been hard since I gave my life to Jesus, but it has been worth it. And so we're about to sing a song, and the lyrics of this song are potent and they're powerful. And I want to encourage you, if you can, make them a prayer from your heart. Make them a prayer from your heart if you're willing to commit and go, Jesus, it's time I give you everything. I don't want to hold back. I don't want to kind of live half my life for myself. I want to give you all that I am. Help me to see the needs around me and participate with what you want to do. Let's pray and then go into worship. Will you stand up with me right now, wherever you're at, whether you're online or in the building, or you can stay seated. It's okay. There's nothing more spiritual about standing up. Lord, I know that your word does not return to you empty. I pray that we have faithfully taught your word and what you have called us to as a church. But most importantly, Holy Spirit, will you speak into individual lives right now and reveal how people can participate with what you are doing? Because it's bigger than Vertical Church. It's not about Vertical Church. It's about what you want to see happen, Lord. Help us to be people who submit, who don't cling on to the things of this world. Holy Spirit, grant people courage and strength. Right now, if you're in Hiawassee, Courtney, will you go down to the front? And Pastor Chris and vertical group leaders, our prayer team, will you come down front? And right now, I just want to encourage you. If you just want someone to encourage you and pray with you, you can come down front. These people will encourage you. They will pray with you. But I always want to be sensitive to, I know there's people where maybe you need prayer for a physical ailment. You're struggling with your health, or maybe you have such a burden for your friend or family member who doesn't know Jesus, and you say, will someone please join me? Will someone else join me in faith that they will come to know Jesus? Come on front. People will pray with you and encourage you. I don't know what need it is for someone else or for yourself. That's okay. Just come forward and they'll pray with you. But more than anything, Holy Spirit, will you move in this time and draw people to you? Let us be people who give everything to you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.